as we come together, it's just important for the body to hear that. So, brothers and sisters, please, as we continue on in this journey together, experiencing God, understand that I will be asking for testimony a little more frequently from time to time. And please don't be afraid to share. There's no wrong answer when you're praising God. Amen? That's right. All right, brothers and sisters, today we're going to take a look at Romans 12, 1 through 8. So if you'd like to go ahead and turn there in your Bibles, would be great. Taking a look at the body of Christ, that we are the church together. In Romans 12, starting in verse 1, Paul is writing to the church in Rome, and he says, "Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Don't conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you'll be able to test and approve, to know what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. For by the grace given to me, I say to every one of you, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has distributed to each of you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it's teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully." Lord, thank you for your word, these ancient words that still convey your truth of what life in you looks like. Continue to form us into the image and likeness of Jesus through the power of your Holy Spirit coming alive and working in the revelation from your word to us. Amen. I talk about my family a lot for a few reasons. One, they're the people I spend the most time with. So naturally, who's going to get the most fodder for my stories? Yeah, she's pointing right at herself. My family. My family is who I have the most experience with. So naturally, when I'm thinking of life application, that's going to be like the number one go-to source. But also, too, I like my family. I love my family. They're dear to me. They're the most dear people in the world to me. Alyssa is the person I love most out of anybody in the whole world. And that is as it should be, and nothing is going to change that. Yes, I love Jesus more. Just for anybody who's like, you didn't say you love Jesus more, I love Jesus more than my wife. And that's how it should be. But I'm talking living, actual, physical human beings that are currently on the planet in flesh and spirit. Alyssa, number one, all the time. The kids, they're pretty close. Kids, when you listen to this when you get older, if you listen to it, Daddy loves you, okay? Daddy loves you, but you're going to move out one day and have your own lives. Mom and I, we're all we have one day. And I think about that all the time. Just the other day, like just to show you like how much I love my family, I was sitting there, I was rocking Joshua, and I make up songs with the kids. Sometimes they're fun and silly, sometimes they're sweet and tender, and this was one of the latter moments. And I got to singing, and I got to talking about him growing up and the parts of him that I love, and that I love playing with him, and I love his little hair, and I love his little smile, and I love his little laugh, and I love his little feet. And then I got to like, I love when we eat Cheerios together, and I love when we play together, and then I love that, you know, one day you're going to go to school, and I love that one day you're going to get into sports or music or do some things. And then I realize that one day he's going to grow up and move out, and I won't have any more kids living at home, and I just broke. Like, I was just weeping, like, ugly crying in the glider, in his room. He's looking at me like, Dad, what's wrong? I'm trying to drink my milk here, and it's, like, salty now because of your tears. Could you stop? And I'm just, like, weeping because I realize, like, this little guy that I love, just like his older brothers, is one day not going to be my little baby living in my house with me. And so I only have these years to give them my best. And I want to, I'm sorry, Shelly. Shelly's oldest baby, Gavin, is moving in with us for the next 2 years. So this is a very emotional time for her because she's living out what I just described. Gavin, I'm very excited that you're living with us for the next 2 years. Good. I'm glad you are too. It'd be horrible if you weren't. But I realize I only have these years with them to give them my best. Like, of course, like, I need my mom and dad still today, but I only have this time in these years that I can give them my best and like, lay that foundation so that when they do grow up and move out, they're going to want to still talk to me. I'm very thankful that my parents did that with me. And as I reflected this week on who I am, which was part of my schoolwork, was taking some time to reflect on who are you, what is your identity? I realized more and more through that process, I'm not just David. Like, if you met me 15 years ago, like, I was David that was influenced by his parents, but, like, I'm not just me. Like, I'm not out on my own person, just me. I am married. And so, like, when Alyssa and I got married, we made a commitment to one another that said the two shall become one. We had that reading was part of our premarital counseling. I think we had it in our wedding. I don't know. There was a lot going on that day. And I didn't have contacts and wasn't wearing my glasses, so it was hard for me to focus on anything. But the two will become one. And kind of learning through premarital counseling what that was going to look like, and now almost a decade into marriage, understanding like that is a process of really becoming that one. But recognizing now, 10 years later and 3 kids later, I'm not just David anymore. I am David and Alyssa. All the time, everywhere I go, when I'm in my office at work, I'm David and Alyssa, as well as Zach, Jake, and Josh. We're a family unit. We are one together. Who I am today is drastically different than who I was before I met Alyssa, and who Alyssa is today is drastically different than who she was before we met, because over the years of dating and marriage, we've rubbed off on one another. And who we are today is different than who we were 7.5 years ago before Zach was born, because who he is and then who Jacob is and who Joshua is becoming is rubbing off on us, and we're becoming one. Common vocabulary, common sense of humor, common language. Alyssa and I share a call to pastoral ministry. I'm no longer just me. I belong to them and they to me. And everywhere I go, in everything I do, I carry them with me, and everywhere they go and everything they do, they carry me with them. And we are one. Even though we serve different functions, even though we do different things, we have some different personalities and thoughts and ideas, we're still somewhat unique in that, but in our identity and who we are, when we really stop and reflect on it, we belong to each other. I to them and they to me. And so they're particularly dear to me. And I want to give them my best in everything. Because as I said, I've only got these years of realizing, oh boy, I got to do my best here. I really have to lay a good foundation. I have to raise these kids right. I have to make sure that as well, I'm still taking time to reinvest into my marriage, because one day these kids are going to move out and it's just going to be the two of us in this big empty house. And do we even know each other anymore? Like, I see it in the movies. I talk to my folks about it. Even though my brother still lives at home with them, it's different, especially because, you know, like at one point they had me, Zach, and Alyssa living at home with them, and then we moved out. Like, it's changed drastically. And not only do I want to give them my best, I want to take what is my best today and make my best tomorrow better. I want to learn and grow in the ways of being a father, because everything I do with that comes home and benefits them. I want to get better as a husband, because everything I do comes home and benefits Alyssa and the kids. And also, I want to become a better pastor all the time, because everything I do, I mean, that's why I'm doing this master's program, because that's going to influence how I live my life and my marriage. And I want to become more like Jesus, because every part of that character impacts every part of my family. And so those gifts and talents that God has given me, I want to increase those and learn how can I use them for the ones who belong to me and to whom I also belong. And that's what Paul's writing about here. Romans 12:4, for just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, that sounds like what I just described with my family, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. This is a revolutionary concept in our world. Our world preaches rugged individualism. Pull yourself up by your bootstraps. If you want to be successful, you make yourself successful. If you have personal taste, pursue that personal taste. I mean, look at marketing and advertising. How much of it there is for the same car targeting different audiences. I mean, that alone tells you. One, they recognize people are different, but two, look at how many of them speak to, because this is for you, the individual, who wants to be the individual. And in this rugged individualism that is a part of our society, for good or bad, I'm not saying, I'm not really condemning anything. I'm just saying it is what it is. This idea of being one that belongs to one another is not something we see really anywhere else in culture and in society. Think about the Lions Club. You join the Lions Club, and you are a member, an individual member in the Lions Club. Or think of a country club. Lots of people join country clubs. You pay your dues. You're a member of the country club. You get a voice in the conversation, but at the end of the day, you're still you. You're still your own family. And if you decide to leave, well, then you just say, I'm out. I'm done paying my dues. Contract terminated. End of deal. Even in social activist groups and community benefit groups, like, you're still just who you are, working with others who are just who they are. And there's really no holistic redemption and healing for the whole person, because it's just crowds. Like at a parade. When you go to the parade, you're there, and there's a lot of other people there. But are you really one cohesive unit? Or at the end of the day, are you just individuals trying to get the best view possible of the floats and the marching band as they go by? I think it's the latter. And that's the way it is with all of our groups and all of our organizations, with everything we do. It's just, you come into these crowds and you're just an individual, and that's how many of us, we like it, because then I'm controlling me and I'm controlling my fate and I'm controlling my destiny. But in the body of Christ, that's not how things are supposed to work. In the body of Christ, we are united in Christ. Not only that, in Jesus Christ, and this was actually a very common thing in the New Testament, when believers would convert, they would literally receive a new name, a new identity, to mirror the new identity that goes with Jesus Christ being our identity. We don't do that tradition anymore, which is fine, because it'd be really confusing for me. After 30 years, it'd be like a Tolstoy novel, like War and Peace, where they all switch names halfway through and I don't know what to call them. But it's a wonderful concept, because it's a new identity, just like marriage. Because that's what God is inviting us into in the new covenant relationship with Jesus Christ, is this marriage relationship between us and God. But it's not us as each individual and God. It's us as the collective corporate whole, unified as the bride of Christ. It is the church as one in covenant with Christ. Which mirrors perfectly exactly what we saw at Sinai, where God didn't bring out a group of individuals from Egypt and say, okay, now you're a part of the covenant, and you are, and you are, and you are. Like Saul, you're a part of the covenant, and I don't know, Eli, you're a part of the covenant, and some other Jewish names, like you are all individuals as part of the covenant, but said you collectively are, as one, are to be my people. And so, we are the people of God through Christ. But there's another way I'd like us to kind of think about that. Because we talk about those who are in Christ have the Holy Spirit. The same Spirit that lived in Christ. The Spirit of Christ that empowered Him to be raised from the dead. That empowered Him to do all these miracles. That He then sent to us, we have, but not just individually the believer has, but us corporately, we have the Spirit of Christ in us, which makes us then the body of Christ. Or another way to think about that is we are the person of God, the incarnate Christ on this earth. Together as one. And it's just such a wonderful thing, for me at least, to think about, because of how much I love my family and understanding that, like, we are one even though we're all different. Like, Zach, Jake, and Josh all have very different personalities, but they're all, along with me and Alyssa, who also have very different personalities in many ways, one, belonging to one another. God's design, and we see this in Genesis 2, Adam was not made complete until Eve, when he was in community. We are not complete until we belong to one another. God's perfect and holy design for us is not fulfilled until we not just come together and worship and then go our separate ways and interact once a week, twice a week, three times a week, but until we understand we are truly the body of Christ, Christians around the globe, we are one, belonging to one another. And how would that change your life when you think about that? That you don't just belong to yourself anymore. And you don't just belong to Jesus. But you belong to me and I belong to you. And you belong to one another. We know we're not cool with people owning one another as property anymore. We've moved past that as a society. Praise God. That's not great. But what if in Christ there was some of that that kind of lingered for us? That we didn't have sole ownership over our lives, but we belonged to one another in Christ. It's a revolutionary concept, and it's one that I'm not going to expound too deeply upon, but encourage you to meditate on it throughout the week. What does that mean? How would my life be different if I were to really take and make that real? Understand that I belong to the people who sit in the sanctuary with me, and they belong to me. I am theirs and they are mine. Paul lists out kind of what that would look like, and I did as well. I want to give my all to my family, right? I want to give them my best and increase and improve on that best. And that's where he says, listen, we have these different gifts within the body. We serve on in different ways, but and he only lists a few of what these gifts are. God has gifted us with more than what we see in just this passage. So please don't limit it, but prophecy, seeing the world through God's eyes, hearing from him and then speaking that message to his people faithfully. That's what prophecy is. And he's saying, listen, God gives you that, do it. Do it at whatever level of faith God's given you. If you're called to serve, then do it and be great at it. If it's teaching, do that well. If it's encouragement, give encouragement. If you give, do it generously, do it all the time, and do it with no strings attached, as some translations say. If it's leading, do it diligently. And if it's showing mercy, do it cheerfully. And the way this is structured, I'm not going to break it down too heavily, but anytime you see four, especially in Paul's letters, it's saying, okay, what I'm telling you now informs what came ahead of this. And we see he's got like two or three of those in a row. So effectively, what he's saying is, we're all one. We all have different gifts. And because of that, we take those. We use them. We lay them on the altar. Our bodies as living sacrifices, what we do, who we are, what we think, what we say, because it's all done in the body. And that is our act of spiritual worship, our true, proper worship, pleasing to God. And so, I'll come back and close out this in a second. I just want to take a moment, and I want to testify. It's my turn now. I got the microphone. On some of the good that I have seen in this unity, in this congregation. I hate that Harland is not doing well and that he's in the hospital. Because he is very, very dear to me. And I know he is to so many of us. Such a wonderful smile on his face anytime he's here. And such a warm greeting and welcome to everyone who walks in those doors indiscriminately. Harlan doesn't care what you look like. Harlan's just happy you're here. I have seen more in the last several weeks. I have seen 8 or 9 different groups or individuals go out and visit Harland all the way out in Bay City. part of this, we belong to one another. Your troubles are mine and mine are yours. Your joys are mine and mine are yours. People have been going and visiting. Harland in the hospital. Some were there when I got there. Some came as I was visiting. Some just told me, hey, I'm going out. And I said, that's awesome. Now he's in a long-term rehab facility over on Midland Avenue. So if you're looking for him, by the way, that's where Harland is. Grace told me it's fine for me to share that with everybody. They moved him. He's going to be there probably a couple months. I mean, you talk about unity and taking on one another's cares and needs. Like, that's the kind of thing that gets me excited as a pastor, is when the body just says, hey, I see a problem. I got to go and meet it. Somebody needs help. I'm going to help. Even if it's just sitting there. And I can tell you from talking with Harlan and talking with Grace, those visits make all the difference in the world between spiraling down into depression over your body not keeping up with what it needs to be and staying emotionally strong. Because as I said, and as Scripture reveals, we are not complete unless we are in community. So thank you to everybody who has participated in that. And those who are, even if you can't go visit, who have given a phone call, or if you haven't been able to do that, but you think of him and pray for him, that makes a big difference. I don't care what Twitter says about thoughts and prayers, I believe it. I believe it works. I believe it's valuable. Some other things that I have seen are the ways in which new relationships are being formed and old relationships are being deepened. Intimacy is growing in some very, very good ways. I'm not going to get into other people's relationships, but I will say it's pretty cool. And Kathy and Joni, I'm going to put you guys on blast. Kathy and Joni have learned this symbiotic relationship where Joni doesn't like to drive alone. I'd imagine you just love having someone to talk to. I relate to that more than I'd care to admit, but it doesn't surprise me at the same time, Joni. Kathy doesn't like driving at night. I don't think Joni really likes driving alone at night either. Most of us don't. They drive each other to Bible studies, and they drive each other to things, especially when it's going to be at night. And they take, and Joni takes Kathy home and then goes home. And that's something that they just do. You're both crackpots, huh?
That's so our light can shine, people.
But that's the type of thing. And that's just one example out of many examples that I have seen of people who are coming together and going, hey, you know what? Let's just spend time together. Let's just be together. I recognize that this is something you need some help with or something that you're maybe not strong in driving at night. Let me drive at night. And in the meantime, we cultivate and deepen relationship and love for one another. Because you belong to me and I belong to you. And the third thing that I want to mention is that backpack thing, that giveaway. People prayed over that. The gift of prayer and faith coming together, the gift of giving and generosity. The gift of encouragement was used, as we didn't know if anyone was going to show up. We gathered supplies, we put out the word and went, I don't know. We'll see what happens. It's always a gamble with ministry. You don't know what's going to happen. We can't predict the future. We just hope for the best. But people came and gave wonderful words of encouragement. God will support and God will provide the people to come and receive his love. People who gave, people who prayed, people who encouraged, people who served. And what I noticed when I walked in, because I had 3 children, and I wasn't about to try and keep them in that room for 4 hours. But when I got to the church and noticed that more than half of the backpacks were gone an hour and a half in, I realized, actually it was a lot more than half at that point. They were almost gone. I think there were 12 left when I got there. Not only were people serving and giving, people were connected with one another, smiling at one another across the room, laughing in little side conversations as they're doing these acts of service. And in that moment, I had a revelation. This alone is good enough. Giving away the backpacks, let's just set that aside for the moment. What if, as the people of God, we were just the people of God together? Would that be enough? Would it just be enough that if we came together worshiping God through our words and songs and how we treat and view one another, would God be pleased? Yes. Yes, He would. Because the closest thing the church produces to a product is just like it's an environment to worship that produces holiness through the transforming experience of God and the power of the Holy Spirit. It's not our work. It's not our incredible things that we do that make the difference. It's God. The best thing we do is come together as one, loving one another, completing one another in community, spiritually, finding the holistic wholeness of Scripture, completing the wholeness of redemption in our hearts, in our minds, and in our entire lives. That's what Paul's driving at here. If you read the rest of the chapter, or the rest of the book, that's really what Romans is all about, and frankly, most of the epistles are how to better experience the goodness of God and how to knock off the badness of this world. Because sometimes we need to be reminded of that. And out of that being the people of God comes the good things like 3, 4, 5 families signing up for Kids Club and saying, hey, you know what? I'd like information on when your church gathers in worship. I'm looking for a church. And maybe, just maybe, this could be the kind of place where I could fit. I love my family. I love that there's the 5 of us and that we are who we are. But Alyssa and I have talked about adoption. I don't know what that's going to look like. We're praying about it. We're trusting in God. Right now, we need to lay low. We still, like, Josh is, he's only 18 months, just turned 18 months, and I'm going to be honest, I'm tired, and I just do not want to deal with another baby. It takes a special type of patience that I am out of. Just as act of confession, it's gone. Burned it up. 3 kids, I'm done. I need a nap. But it doesn't mean that I'm done with our family growing. Because one day our older kids are getting married. Yeah, Shelly's pointing at Gavin. Yeah, I guess that's true. I got one more. It's all right. He's an adult and he can fend for himself. He's going to school and Saginaw and getting a job. Rent ain't free. And it'd be really easy to want to put up fences around who we are as a family to protect our identity as the Boltons, because this world will try and strip it from us. It is the reality of this world. I have seen it. I have experienced it. And there's a lot to want to try and build fences around who we are. But all that's going to end up doing is keep us separated and keep our family from growing. Instead, what we have decided to do is in the center, we've just put love, the love of Christ. It's like a monument in the middle of the town of our lives that we just pour our attention and our focus into. Like those New Zealand shepherds that they only put up fences and barriers around fast-moving water or overly deep water or cliffs that the sheep would die if they fell into. No other fences. They just beautify the area where the sheep live so that they'll want to stay there. That's what we're trying to do with our family. Just make it more attractive. Just make it more of us with Jesus' love in the center, and the kids are always going to want to be there. And we're going to always want to gather there. And we're all going to focus around the same thing. And we're going to hold hands, and we're going to sing Kumbaya, and we're going to invite other people to come along and join us and hold hands with us and sing Kumbaya together. And as the church, that's what it is. That's what Paul is driving at. That's what life in unity of Christ looks like. And we're already doing a pretty good job. And I'm very thankful for that. Because I have a couple pastor friends on the district that getting their people to do anything beyond coming for Sunday morning. I mean, he can't even get them to go out to lunch with him if he's buying the food. They're like, no, I'm cool. They won't do anything. They just want to come get their Sunday morning fix and go home. Not this church, not these people. We spend time together. We love one another. And as we do that more and more, people will take notice and they will realize there is something good happening here. And the good works that are good because they are driven out of the holiness that God is producing in us will only serve as the proof and evidence of the goodness growing inside. And good news, we're already seeing those things. So that is wonderful. That is great. And that is encouraging to me, by the way, of seeing the fruit of our lives being good. And I just wanted to take a moment and commend the church and thank you for that. Because life is challenging so often. But God is greater. Amen? Amen. So thank you. And by the way, thanks for letting me be your pastor. It's been a good 18 months. It's hard to believe it's been almost 18 months since I started on March 11th of 2018. It's been good. I really like you guys. I really like being, I do, I like you guys. All right. But I do, and I like you guys, and I love you guys. Each of you and all of you. And I'm glad I get to be a part of this family, that you belong to me and I belong to you because of who Christ is. Because of what Christ does. And it's good. So thanks, guys. Thanks for letting me be your pastor. And as I said, I know I have kind of gotten away from the weekly challenges thing that I was doing for about the first year. God kind of led me in another direction. I had somebody kind of ask about it, and I just, since we're just talking here right now, God's kind of been leading me in another direction for now, but feels appropriate, and it seemed, in the words of the apostles in Acts 15, it seemed good to me and to the Holy Spirit to kind of bring it back around for this week. I urge you and ask you, please, not for me, not for you, but for the people in this church, in the body of Christ that you belong to, take time every day and ask God and think, if I belong to the other people in this church, how does that change how I approach my life? How does that change what I do with my time? How does that change what I do with my money? How does that change what I do with my words, with my actions, with my gifts, whether I know them or need to find them out, or if I know them and need to use them, or if I know them and am using them and just need to praise God that he's got me in a position to do that. Just giving you a little help there. And meditate on those things. God, how would belonging to one another change my life? And also, how would it change how I view somebody else, like when they make a mistake? Because I've made mistakes, even in the time I've been here, believe it or not. And I'm sorry for that. It's constant improvement. But please understand that God is at work. Most of the time, I just try and get out of His way. Sometimes, that's the best thing to do. And just be His people together. Let's pray. Dear Lord, our Heavenly Father, we, Your family, come to You now. Thank You for Your love. Thank You for Your goodness. Thank You for watching over us this past week, bringing us here safely. Thank You for the good time of praise and worship that we had this morning in song and in prayer and in giving and in the Word and in fellowship and in Sunday school fellowship. Lord, thank You for calling us to be Your disciples, calling us to be Your people, and giving us one another that we might find full completion of spirit, redemption for our whole person in You. Help us to understand what that means more and more, to live that out. Give us grace and mercy as we humans engage with and live in community with one another. Because You have been first graceful, merciful with us. Above all, thank You for Your love. We love You, Jesus. Thank You for letting us be Your people, for making us able to be Your people through Your life, death, resurrection, ascension, and the gift of the Holy Spirit and the new covenant You've brought us under. We love You, and it's in Your name we pray, Lord. Amen. Well, brothers and sisters, if you would stand and receive a blessing this morning, I love doing this. Because it is always my hope that God will bless you with His presence and His peace and His goodness. And so, may our gracious Heavenly Father, who is love, fill you with love. Show you that you are loved. And may that love sanctify you through and through to be more and more like Jesus. And may He give you His peace. Amen. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. Wish one another well with the peace of Christ today. Go in peace.